Well, good morning. How many ladies have gone to a women's retreat? Yes. Every time I go to a women's retreat, you know, you look good, you know, you put your makeup on. I go there and the first night I have no makeup because I'm crying the whole time. And I always tell myself, why do I bring makeup here? And I kind of felt the same feeling. I was up in the front. I go, oh no, here we go. No, not right now. And here they go. The tears start coming down, and it's tears of feeling that the Lord is in this place and that he wants to speak to us. And so it's a pleasure that I could be here. I am the chaplain. I am a chaplain at the Vista Jail. We have around 900 men. And it didn't start off that way. It started with me being a chaplain for females because the facility was part female, part male. But then the male chaplain resigned. And they asked if I would take over that whole facility. And I said yes. And then they moved the women out. And now I'm in charge of 900 men. What's really interesting is the way I see them is through a little slot on the door. There's a big door, metal door, and there's glass up above, but there's a little slot, and that's where I go talk to them. So all I see is this much of them. And I don't know why God lets me see them as little boys. Maybe because I have grandsons, and you just see this much, and I'm like, my heart just goes out to them. Because at one time they were little boys. And so God has let me have the privilege of leading these men to the Lord. And you know, when you're in a jail, you don't have to convince somebody that you're a sinner. You just got to convince them now to make the right choice and to give your life over to the Lord. There was a man who attempted suicide. They have a second floor, and there's steps that go up, and then there's a bunch of cells up there. And he went from up there, and he just jumped off the railing. And they called me, because I live only two blocks from the jail, and they said, we need you in here now. There's attempted suicide. And I'm like, okay. I got there, and they put me in a room with him. And I told the gentleman, I said, do you know why I'm here? He goes, yes. You're here because I try to kill myself. And I opened my Bible, and I turned to Matthew chapter 7, and I read a story to him. It was only two lines of the story, but I says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. And I told him, there's two roads. And every person on this planet is either on one road or the other. What road do you think you're on? And I'm on the road to destruction. Well, you can change. You can change your path. It's your choice. He said, well, how do I do that? It's a prayer way. I explained to him the gospel. He ended up praying and giving his life to the Lord. And he went back to his cell. And the deputies talked to me the next day. What did you tell him? He went straight to his room, and he went quietly. And you know, I shouldn't be afraid, but sometimes I'm afraid to say, he gave his life to the Lord, because they would say, what's that? But I told him, I said, I prayed with him. Well, there must have been a powerful prayer, because he has changed. It's so wonderful to know that God did all the work all I have to do is share what God has done. And it's so powerful what God has done that it can change a life. You know, I think about that two verses in Matthew 7, how Jesus is the one that says, enter. He's the one that's inviting us to take the narrow road. And I love that God does not hold anything back. He says, it's going to be difficult, but it's going to give you life, an eternal life. And then he says, there are few who find it. I'm a few. And in my neighborhood, I'm a few. And in where I work, I'm a few. I'm always a minority, not just being a Mexican. But there's not very many people who are born-again Christians and love the Lord and trust God and want to walk with God and want to be obedient. In this room, the story is the same. You're either on one road or you're on the other. You're on the narrow road that's leading to life. You're being obedient to God. You're walking with him. And you're seeing the blessings of that. Or you've turned your back on God. Or you've never even given your life to God. And you're reaping havoc. When I was 18, I gave my life to God after I had gotten married. So my husband didn't want to come along. I thought he'd give his life to the Lord as fast as I did. 6 years later, he still doesn't know the Lord, and I'm angry at God. I'm angry because, God, why aren't you saving him? You know, when you're unequally yoked, you actually are going in different directions. You know, I'm going to church and he's motorcycling and, you know, taking off for the weekend, and I'm, you know, going to the women's studies and he's going out drinking and I'm going this way. You know, I'm reading the Bible, he's reading motorcycle magazines. I'm just like, Wayne, we're so opposites. So what I end up doing is getting so mad at God and disappointed that he wouldn't give his life to the Lord, I walked away from God. And I really thought by leaving God, I was basically free. Free from this man. And what I end up doing is running right into the arms of Satan. I started drinking, which I never drank before. I was 25. I started doing drugs because drinking is just the beginning. So now you're doing drugs. And now you can't be faithful to anybody. You're just kind of playing the field. And you can't even be faithful to the one daughter I had. I had one baby girl from my husband. I was leaving her off at my mom's and just kind of living my own life like as I was single. Well, let me tell you, in the 2 years of me doing my own thing, there was death in those 2 years. In 1 year, I had 3 abortions. And then I tried to commit suicide myself. So Satan was going, come this way. Oh, this is the real, oh, you're going to love this. Yeah, you've been living the hard life, you know, praying for that man. He doesn't, you know, he'll never come to know the Lord. Come my way. And I took the broad road. And it's true. It takes you to death and destruction. I lived it. But because God is so merciful and so gracious and long-suffering, and he pursues us. I was that one sheep that just left, and God says, I got to leave the 99. I got to go after her. So God pursued me and pursued me, and boy, did I run. I ran. It was like, oh, here he is. Oh, let's go. I remember, because I used to work at a grocery store, and I would see people that I used to go to church. And as soon as I'd see them, like, whoop, and, you know, I worked at the deli counter, I was like, whoop. And my coworkers are like, what's wrong? I'm like, are they gone yet? And they're like, who? Those two ladies. I go, well, there's a lot of people in the store. No, it's two ladies that look like church people. And I remember running. I had friends from the church that would call me. Hi, I just want to know, you know, maybe we could have breakfast. Or I was like, I don't want to hang out with them. I was literally running from God and anybody who was walking with God. There was a Christian that actually worked at the grocery store. And I knew he was a Christian because he'd come in there and he'd just go, so, Linda, you said you used to know the Lord. I was like, oh, no, I should have never told him that. So I used strategy. I said, okay, he's going to try and pull me. Well, I'm going to try and pull him. I said, hey, we're going drinking tonight. You want to come? He goes, nope. I go, come on, I'll buy every drink you want. He goes, no. I go, we'll go to dinner first, then we'll go out drink. He goes, no. I was like, I got to get this guy off my back. And he was a young guy. And he'd go by and goes, I'm praying for you. I'm like, oh, it would be like daggers at me. But because God is so wonderful and his love just goes on and on for you, he did everything to get my attention. And you know, I'm the type, I'm stubborn, so I had to go down real hard. First he took this away from me, and then he took that away from me, and then he took this and that and that. And pretty soon, I was literally stripped. And all I had was one thing left. It was my job. I can get all those things back because I've got a job. And what happens? I go to work, and the boss comes up to me and says, you're fired. I'm like, what did I do? You're fired. But aren't you going to tell me what I... Do I have to walk you off of this... walk you out of this store? I was like, I remember going home and crying the whole way because I worked in Santee and I lived in Carlsbad and I was just, it's an hour drive the whole time, crying and crying because now I had nothing. And I remember getting to my place and literally just crying out to God, you want me? You can have me. It wasn't even something nice I said. It was like, God, please forgive me. No, you won. I'm a wreck. I felt like I gave him a bag of broken, like a broken vase and just a bunch of pieces that, here, you want it. Do whatever you want with it. I think it's trash, but, and you know, God was waiting for those words. And you know what he did? He took me. It's incredible because I was living with a guy at the time. And when that guy came home, I told him, you have to get out or we got to get married. But we can't live like this anymore. Look how fast God was already changing my thinking. Well, I thought it was okay. Now it's like, I can't do this. I didn't really even realize that God was moving already. I thought it was my idea. And this guy said, I've already asked you to marry me. Well, it doesn't matter what you said. I'm asking you. Either we get married or you're going to get out. So what are you going to do? He said, well, let's get married. Do you know what? It's been 32 years I've been married to that man. And God is still changing me and still rearranging things. Because not until I breathe my last breath, then God says, I'm done. But in the 32 years, I've seen God bless me and bless and bless. Because, and the road has been hard sometimes. There's been times you just go, God, I can't do this. And it's true what it says. It's difficult sometimes, and there's bumps in the road and there's hurdles. And what do you got to do? You keep moving. You keep going forward, no matter how hard. And you know, that's when you go to your friends and say, I need some prayer. And your friends might even ask, well, what do you want me to pray for? And some things I don't want to say. I just go, just pray, okay? God knows. I'm struggling. And just when God cleans up an area in your life and you're good, and then guess what? He shows you another one. He's now, let's go in this little closet here. But God is so small. He goes, I know. But we got to get rid of some things that are pretty disgusting. And he starts to move in your life, and he takes territory. And every step that he takes, it is so amazing because he leaves such a clean environment. I had an inmate who, he gave his life to the Lord while he was in the jail. And he really got on fire for God. I mean, he was holding Bible studies in there. He had a sign on his little window because all the inmates have a cell and there's two men in each cell. Well, he had a little sign up there and the sign said, Bible studies at 2:00. And I was like, wow. He said, you see that? See that? People are coming. I was like, that's so cool. Well, that guy ended up getting released and he'd been already in jail like 30 some years. When he left, he gave me a phone number to his mom's. He goes, hey, if you want to get in contact, just call here. Call my mom. I'm probably going to be at my mom's. I said, okay. So after about 2 months, I said, you know, I'm going to call and check up on him. And I called, and the mom answered. And I said, I was just wondering how, you know, how he's doing, you know. Oh, soon as he got here, he cleaned house. Like what? Oh, he made us get rid of things, and this had to go, and... You know, I just heard a Bible study last Sunday. To grow, you got to let things go. And there's some things that we've kind of feel like it's a part of us. You know, I used to have a really bad temper. And I used to think because I was Mexican, you know, I said, well, I used to see my mom with the pelote, you know, the rolling pin. And she hit my dad on the head, and so when you grow up like that, seeing the police at your house, and you just go, that's normal. And then now I'm with my husband, and I've got that, you know, oh, you're not? Really? Boom, I've done that to him. It's so sad. And the Lord told me, it's not because you're Mexican. That's sin. I was like, but my mom did it all those years. And the Lord said, it's got to go. See, the things that you almost think that that's you, it's your nature, you know. I grew up like that. And you have to let it go. Because when you let it go, God's going to put something in really awesome in its place. But if you don't let it go, it's actually occupying something that God wanted to give you. So once we let it go, and sometimes you feel there's a void. It's like there were times when I was pretty mad at my husband. I'm like, and I just go into my room, close the door. Lord, he's making me so mad right now. And what would have been the normal thing is just, you know, let it out. And I just went in there and I just prayed. Okay, God, you got to take this away from me. You said I can't have it, so you take it away. And the Lord told me what to do. He goes, I'll tell you what to do. Go in there in the kitchen and go give him a big old kiss. I was like, I don't feel like that. And the Lord said, well, you want to know the cure. You got to go out of this room and go give him a kiss. I was like, is there another thing I can do? Anything. I'll do anything, but I don't want to do that. The Lord didn't answer me. Like that was the final answer. And I just remember going, okay, I'll do it. And I opened that door and I went in that kitchen. And he was like, and I grabbed him by the shoulders and he was like, I just saw his face like I was going to hit him. And when I grabbed his shoulders, I went, and I gave him a big one right on the mouth. And he said, you're crazy. You know what's so crazy? I liked it. So I gave him another one. And after that, we started laughing, and I was like, God, you did have the way out of this. You know, when God speaks, we need to listen and we need to obey, even though it goes totally against what we feel how it should go. Because God's way is always right, always. And I go back to that verse where he says, and difficult is the way that leads to life. It's going to go against the grain. It's going to go against the way you think, because God says, I don't think the way you think, and I don't do things the way you do it. That's why we have to check in with God. We have to go to him and say, God, how do you want me to handle this? You know, there's something right now God's been working on in me, and I would say it's probably been 6 months, and I'm still dealing with it. And even though he tells me what to do, I do it, but I just want it to be a part of me. I want to go like, yes, that's what I want. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. And every time I obey, God blesses me. There's peace when you obey God. So if you guys think of me, I don't want to tell you what it is. But there's something I've been dealing with, and God is going, it's like a tooth, you know, and he's just, I'm going to get that thing out of you. I remember my mom, she had a really bad tooth, and they went in, and, you know, she said, she came back, she couldn't even talk, and I told my mom, so what happened? She goes, she couldn't tell me. Until hours later, she goes, they gave me so many shots, and just when he was pulled, I go, she could still feel it. The doctor says, you know, I really cannot give you any more shots. I've given you all that I can give you. She goes, then just pull it. I said, how did that feel? She goes, horrible. But as soon as he pulled it, the Novocaine kicked in. She was like, And you know, sometimes I feel that's what I have to tell the Lord. Just take it. Get it out. Because it's hurting me, and it's hurting others, and I'm not growing until that is dealt with. If you look at Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, he talks about two houses. And he says, one is built on sand and one is built on a rock. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. There was those 2 years when I was building my life and the foundation was just sand. And then when the storms come, which they will come, and they beat on you, and the floods are rising up. And if you're not letting Jesus be the foundation of you, you will go down. But he says the ones who hear God's word and does it is like a wise woman. So when the storms do come, you will not fall because you're founded on the rock, which is Jesus. Ladies, I don't want to fall. I was there 2 years, not fallen, literally laying down, just crumbled. And now I say, God, please help me to be strong. So when those trials come and when temptation comes, I want to have the power and the strength. And I'll tell you, ladies, that comes from the Word of God. That's why, to me, it's so vital that you're in the Word of God. And I understand that, you know, there's times in your life where it's kind of difficult to be in the Word of God. I remember when my kids were young, and I wanted to be in the Word of God, there was no place to go. You know, I'd go in this room, the kids are running, you go over here, you go outside, they're playing. You're like, so my only room was the bathroom. And I'd go in there, and sometimes I could spend an hour in there. And my husband going, honey, are you all right? And I never want to tell anybody I was reading the Bible because then they would say, get out, you know? So I go, yeah, I'll be out in a minute. Are you all right? I go, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm fine. He's like, oh. It was my time where nobody would bother me. And, you know, I was at my daughter's house for a week, and she's got, you know, four kids. And I'll tell you, it was very difficult finding a time to read the Word. I'd get literally about a minute, and then I had to go do something, or they'd come, and you know, you don't want to go, excuse me. No, it's your kids, and you went to go see them, the grandkids. You're like, yeah, come on. Grandma, can you make pancakes? Let's do it. So I understand there's times in your life when it's not as easy, but it's still vital that we get in the Word of God and we feed that to our children and our grandchildren, the Word of God, because that's what gives you the power and the strength for when the enemy does come around or when trials come your way. You're going to be able to stand because you're fully armored. You know, Deuteronomy 28, I love that whole chapter there. He talks about blessing and cursing. And he says, the person who diligently obeys the voice of the Lord is going to be blessed. And the person who does not take God's word serious, they hear it and they just walk away and do their own thing. He goes, they're cursed. You know, I want to follow in the category of being blessed. So I want to do everything that keeps me in that category. You know, I was reading Isaiah chapter 1, which is where we get the whitest snow. And I think it's so wonderful that the way Isaiah, the prophet, presents it. He says, come now, let us reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, it's always going to be our choice. Always. God's never going to make you do something. Oh, he'll try to do circumstances around to convince you, but ultimately it is your choice to follow God, to obey him, to be in his word, to take his word serious. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, and that is such a crimson, it's such a deep red that actually can stain. And here God says, I'm going to make it white as snow, as if the stain never was there. But it takes us being willing and obedient to go to the Lord and say, God, you need to clean me. You need to cleanse me with your blood. I want to be white as snow. You know, that thing I was telling you about that I've been praying for, on the way coming up, I got a phone call, and it was right there in my face. I was like, here we are, Lord. And every time, you know, God is so good. You know, if you fail the test, he'll give it to you again. Because he wants A students. So I've been taking this one over and over again. And here I had that person on the phone, and they're telling me da 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 whatever. I was like, you know how bad I just want to go click. And the Lord says, I'm giving you another opportunity. I'm like, then you have to do it right now in me. And the person was telling me all the, you know, their woe and this and that and that and that, that. You know what I just said? You know, can I just pray for you? And the person says, oh, yes. And I prayed for them. That was God's direction, saying, I'll tell you how to get out of this. Just pray for them. And as soon as I finished praying, it was like the devil got off my back. And the person said, thank you so much. I go, oh, you're welcome. Well, I'll be praying for you. Okay, bye. And hung up. I went, wow, that's so different from me wanting to and say, oh, we must have lost connection. I don't know what happened. So God is working in us. If we allow him, if we say, God, do a work in me. You got to change me. You know what I always tell the Lord all the time? Don't leave me like this. Especially when I'm confronted with my weaknesses, I'm like, God, please don't leave me. You got to change this. And you know what? He is doing, because I'm willing to be changed. Some things don't happen overnight. Some things do, and some things you're going to struggle until it changes. But you have to allow God to do that change in you, because you can't do it. It says that you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So God is actually giving us an opportunity, even right now, if anybody in this room, I don't care if it's a small stain. You know, when I get a little stain right there, the whole thing goes in the laundry. I don't care. It's just a dot of mustard. I don't care. It looks right there. And some of us are really dirty. And we need the Lord to wash us. We need to go to the fountain of living water and say, God, just rain on me. Clean me up. That's why I love communion so much. Communion is a place where I can settle the score. I can go there and say, God, I did it again. I'm sorry, please, you've got to help me. I don't want to be like that. Forgive me. And God says, whew, he washes. And you know, I'm a big crybaby. I do not know why I'm like that. Oh, I shouldn't say, I see my dad, he cries all the time. I'm like, oh, that's where I got it. From you. But whenever I go to the Lord, I feel like my tears are almost doing the washing, because I just start bawling. And I'm at church and I'm like, God, it's just like God says, I'm cleaning you up. It's so wonderful that God has given that to us, and we don't have to wait till communion. We could do it all through the day. Maybe you were thinking not the right way, and you say, God, you got to help me. I'm struggling in that area. Or where our eyes want to look, or what we want to hear, or what we want to do. We can ask God, and he can just make you white as snow. And you know what? I was thinking about white. You know, there's so many different colors of white, you know. My house is white. And every time my husband goes, he goes, this isn't the right white. I'm like, I thought white was white. He goes, oh, no, it's all different shades of white. I feel like God's white is the most purest white you could ever know. And that's how God wants to make you that white, that bright white. In Psalm 51, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." You know, everything we do, God sees, good and bad. "That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." We don't have to walk around dirty. We can be clean. And all we have to do is go to the Lord and ask God, "Wash me. Make me white as snow." But you notice that the psalmist says that he acknowledges his transgression. We have to know we did wrong. You know, sometimes we like to make excuses. "Well, the reason why I did that, and they know how to push my buttons," and we make excuses for something that's wrong in us. And we have to ask God, "Please, Lord, I blew it again. And I need you to wash me." So God is giving an opportunity right now to everyone in this room, including myself. And I just want to pray for you ladies right now. If there's something that you feel that has stained you, let's go to the Lord. And let's get cleaned up. You're going to feel so good. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much, Father, that you have made a way for us to be clean. Father, I'm asking, Lord, if there's any woman in this room, Lord, Father, that they feel it inside. They know exactly what you're talking about, Lord, because you're the one that's pointing it out to them. Father, I pray, Lord, that they would humbly come before you and just confessing and saying, "God, I didn't do it right. And I need you to clean me up. And I know you'll give me another opportunity to do that right thing. But for right now, I need to be clean. I don't want to walk around with stains, Lord." So I ask, Father, right now, for any woman in this room that says, "God, I want that. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you stand up, but I want you to cry out to your God." And if there's any woman in this room that has never given their life to you, and they see themselves on that broad road, and it's just death and destruction on it, God's giving you an opportunity today to say, "God, I'm changing my direction. I was running from you, but now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to run to you." And that they, too, would just confess and say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing it my way all these years or all these days or all these months. And Father, I choose to change my direction and I want to walk with you. And if there's any woman in this room, I want you to go to the person who brought you. Or if you know somebody that's, or me, whatever, and go up and say, you know what? I gave my life to God. And it's the beginning of a brand new, wonderful, blessed life. Father, I pray, Lord, over this sanctuary and all these women here, and we know you're in this room, Lord. And Father, you said if we're willing and obedient, you would do that. You would cleanse us. I pray that everyone in this room would be willing, saying, yes, Lord, do that. Father, I pray that these women would have a blessed day because they're walking out white as snow, Lord, and cleansed. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. I love all the worship we had today, Lord, because it's all about you, Lord. It's beautiful. It brings tears to my eyes, Lord. Father, I pray these people that have given their lives to you, these people that are turning their direction and they're getting back with you, Lord, I pray you would use them in a very powerful way. In their neighborhoods, in their homes, in their workplace, with their friends, and they'd be a bright light for you, Lord. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.